Welcome to The Spirit of Chester County, a program which introduces you to Catholics in Chester County and the western suburbs who are making a difference with the Catholic faith. Now with this week's guest, here's Lloyd Broach on The Spirit of Chester County.
And welcome to Spirit of Chester County. My name is Lloyd Broach, and this program is brought to us with a generous grant by Wassenich, Brogan, and Stanzione in Downingtown. They're very kind to help us with the program today on Holy Spirit Radio, 1420 WCOJ and 1570 WISP. I have a very special guest today because normally we talk to people who are members of the clergy or possibly people that work with the clergy, and this particular gentleman does some of that, but he is a musician by trade and a rather famous one at that. His name is Maestro Valentin Radu, and I'm going to let him introduce himself to you, but I want to give you a little bit of background. This fellow lives on the main line, and he works at a very fine school to which I have some association, Devon Preparatory School, but he has another life, which he has been pursuing for the last 25 years. And I thought it would be very interesting today to talk with Maestro Radu about his silver anniversary of his organization called Vox Amadeus, which you may or may not have heard of. But it is very interesting how he has taken his Catholic faith and made it his vocation, also his avocation, and back to his vocation. So, Maestro Radu, I want to welcome you to the Spirit of Chester County. Thank you very much for taking a minute to talk to us. I really appreciate this. You are a native from Bucharest, Romania. So you explained that sacred music was tolerated in Catholic churches, but not necessarily in the general public. So how
No, absolutely not. In fact, in any public halls, any communist country, not just Romania, but obviously I'm talking about Romania because that's my native country, that's where I grew up. Most of the sacred concerts and sacred, well, first of all, sacred music, particularly at the cathedral in Bucharest, was extremely beautiful, elaborate concerts. In fact, I am responsible for a great deal of organizing those sacred concerts at the cathedral, and they were always, you know, filled up and full, standing room only, blah blah blah, and we could do all the great sacred works, you know, by great composers, you know, Bach, Handel, Vivaldi, Beethoven, and whatnot, and so forth, because they were not, as I said, allowed in public halls, and so. It was a very interesting situation because also we had top-of-the-line musicians. I had a chamber orchestra of about 45 apiece, and I also had a fabulous chorus, and I also had vocal soloists that were like opera singers and top-notch singers and all that, that took some risks, actually, to perform at the cathedral, because, as I said, the government did not look very kindly about those things. But they were not messing too much with it in terms of forbidding it, because, first of all, they were not allowed to, because, you know, the Catholic Church, first of all, was under the separate entity with the Vatican money and whatnot and so forth. And but it was not just another place that was very active in concerts was also the Lutheran Church. There's a beautiful Lutheran Church, Evangelical Lutheran Church in Bucharest. And I just want to mention that there are a lot of German ethnic population in Transylvania, particularly, dating back to the times when the Austro-Hungarian Empire, and they were kind of like brought there centuries and centuries ago to guard the eastern flank of the Austro-Hungarian Empire, which was formed by the natural border of the Carpathian Mountains. And so Transylvania was kind of like the outpost eastern flank of that. And so because of that, there's a lot of German population still remaining.
So were these German Lutherans and German Catholics together in this population you're talking about?
Correct, yes. Actually, there are not a lot of German Catholics. There are some, but not a lot. Majority of, particularly in Romania, they're almost entirely Lutherans. But so they had a very, very high sense of the worth of music in the service. even more than the Catholic. Although the Catholic cathedral, for instance, in Bucharest, as I said, the High Mass on Sunday morning, which is all in Latin except for the readings and the sermon. And we had a chorus, a very beautiful chorus of about 110 strong, and with an orchestra, and we did the mass settings of famous composers. It was amazing. It was absolutely amazing. The service was 10:30 starting in the morning, and was about almost 2 hours long.
But I was going to ask you, how long is a mass in Romania when you have all that singing?
The regular mass, the low mass, what it's called, the spoken mass. It's regular time, like, you know, it could be as short as 30 minutes or 45 minutes.
Right.
But the high mass, which was filled with music, chorus and orchestra and all that and so forth, was almost 2 hours long. And people actually came early to get a seat. Was like an hour before mass started. People already, the church was filled. And what I used to do is I used to play like prelude music on the organ, you know, so that the people won't just sit there and, you know, wait. Well, I mean, they were praying and meditating and so forth. But, and then there was also at 12:30 was what is called an organ mass. And an organ mass was not no choir or orchestra, but I used to play the organ, but also used to have selected singers, top of the line singers, and so forth. That we used to do sacred arias and so forth. From so it was a phenomenal experience, and I have to say that I did all the great, you know. I start to say that that was part of my what I would call my second half of the life, because my first half of the life, my first third actually, or fourth
okay.
or something, I kept.
One of your many halves.
Yeah,
okay.
many halves. Yes.
Okay.
That I was a child prodigy pianist, and then I was a young man prodigy pianist, and then I had a very emotional experience. First, very happy. I won a very prestigious piano competition in Rome when I was 16. And part of that prize was a four-year scholarship to study piano in Rome at the Accademia di Santa Cecilia. And but I had to come back to Romania to get a student visa for 4 years to study, and that student visa was denied. And I had a nervous breakdown, and I was not allowed to go to Rome and so forth. So because of that, a lot of things changed, including I dropped out of music for a few years, and then I flew planes, jet fighters, and so forth. So that was another interesting parenthesis.
So out of that, and you mentioned...
And then I came back, when I had a phenomenal experience to listen to the organ on a midnight mass of Easter vigil mass.
Well, that's what I wanted to ask you. This was at St. Joseph's, right?
Yes.
So I would like you to tell that story. You were at St. Joseph's, and you heard this organ.
Yes.
And who was the priest that you were...
The priest was the organist, was a priest, actually,
right. Yeah.
Who we knew. He actually, among other things, baptized my sister. And so because the brass, the military, was not really officially allowed to get into church in full gear.
Mm-hmm.
So, but so we were allowed to go up to the balcony to sort of hide there, to not be seen by the KGB and so forth. It was sort of like from the movies. I mean, this is like Mission Impossible. I just saw last night Tom Cruise. So it's all real.
Right.
I mean, people here have no idea what the life was like over there. And many times I tell my kids at Devon and I tell my friends how lucky you Americans are to have the freedom that you enjoy and to guard it, and also to simply to get a passport, you apply by the post office and you send it away. And if you want it the same day, you go and pay an extra fee and you get it the same day. This is something out of a movie. You know?
Now back to St. Joseph. You were interested listening to the organ, and you told me a story about how you went in to see it.
Yes.
Look at it.
Yes.
See what it works like.
Right.
And then a day later, you're playing the organ or something.
No, the next day. No, it was midnight. It was 2 o'clock in the morning on Sunday, Easter Sunday. And so the priest, the organist, was kind of a little tired when I wanted to play. And he said, well, tomorrow's Easter. Why don't you come on Monday morning and I'll show you. So I went in on Monday morning after the morning mass. He showed me some things, the buttons and the this and that and the different keyboards and so forth, because it's like a machine. People may not even realize when that the organ is like really like a machine, and the console looks like a intercontinental missile post or whatever with buttons and so forth and different keyboards and so on. Well, Mozart actually called the organ the queen of instruments, and it's not only an instrument that in many ways sort of like it's like a mini orchestra. But thank you. So I went in there. He showed me, and so he had to go, and he said to me, "Look, just pull the door shut." He showed me how to turn off the organ, and I said to him, "Well, Father Gessling, what time are you coming back?" He said, "Well, for evening mass at 6 o'clock." But he said, listen, if you go out, you can't come back in because the door shuts.
Right.
And so I said, okay. So he came in at 10 of 6. I was still there. So he said, how did you get in? I said, I never went out. I said, what? So he said, well, okay. And so he was kind of taken back. And the next day, I stayed for mass with him. Mm-hmm. He showed me the same. And you would not believe this, but because I do move fast. I'm a fast-moving guy. The next day, he says to me that his assistant is not coming back. I said, why? Well, he defected to Western Europe.
Oh. Doesn't everyone.
Right. So he said, I would like to offer you the job of assistant. So I said, okay, really? So that Tuesday night, which is, by the way, very much celebrated in Romania, that is, it was always the day that is dedicated to St. Anthony. And Tuesday night mass, I played, and so I made my debut as assistant organist of the cathedral, playing the mass at St. Anthony Mass. And so, anyway, it's kind of an interesting thing. And from then, I just basically stayed. And he was so happy with me that he hardly even came to play. So I basically took over. And then about a year, exactly a year later, another interesting thing happened, which is that we had a choir director, a very famous choir director. And on Holy Thursday, the next year, I was practicing for Holy Day, for Holy Thursday, rather, Mass. But it was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Was raining, miserable, and so the nun that took care of the sacristy comes up to the organ and says that the cardinal, His Eminence, what we call him, wishes to see me. And so I said, am I in trouble? And she said, no, I don't know. I was very friendly with the cardinal. Yeah, he was a great man, and Cardinal Francis. And so I went up to his office. He greets me and offers me a glass of stiff VSOP cognac. He gets one himself. He says, sit down. So I said, okay, am I in trouble, Your Eminence? And he says, depends. I'm like, depends? Uh-oh. I said, depends on what? Depends on your answer. My answer. He says, yes, sit down and shut up here. Look at this cable. So he shows me a cable that came from Bamberg or some place in Germany, which said, I wish you a happy and holy Easter, and was signed Andreas Porfetti, which was the choir director of the choir. And that was all. And I said, okay. So he looks at me and says, well... I said, well, what? He says, don't you get it? I said, no. Okay, let me explain to you. Maestro Porfetti is basically saying to us that he will not come back because he just defected to Germany. I said, oh, dear, what are we going to do? He said, no. What are you going to do is my question. I said, what am I going to do, Excellence? Yes, what are you going to do in your new position as a music director, choir director of the cathedral? I literally, like, thank God I was sitting down and with the cognac.
Our guest is Maestro Valentin Radu, and when we return, we're going to hear a little bit of the end of that story.
Well, the end of that story is just that I went back and I practiced the coronation mass of Mozart, and that night I was back in my position, I was back at the choir loft in my new position as a choir director of the cathedral.
I knew I was going to have difficulty conducting this interview, but I knew that in advance, and it's okay. When the Spirit of Chester County returns on Holy Spirit Radio, you're going to hear about what Maestro Radu has done here in the United States, because we are speaking to him in Chester County, not in Romania, when the Spirit of Chester County continues.
The law firm of Wisinek, Brogan, and Stanzione supports Holy Spirit Radio over WCOJ. Wisinek, Brogan, and Stanzione can help you with personal injury, disability, work injury, or medical negligence. Representing the communities of Chester and Berks counties and beyond with the highest ethical standards and professional excellence. Wisinek, Brogan, and Stanzione is proud to support Coatesville Spotlight over WCOJ. You can reach Wisinek, Brogan, and Stanzione at 610-594-1600 or on the World Wide Web at wisinekbrogan.com.
Okay, we've returned on the Spirit of Chester County right here at 1420 WCOJ and 1570 WISP, Holy Spirit Radio for the Delaware Valley. And our guest is the ever-effusive Maestro Valentin Radu, who was just explaining his early beginnings. And, of course, I was corrected by calling him fledgling. He wasn't fledgling at all. He was a genius from the day he was born. We all know that. I've got to get you a little bit closer to the mic here, Maestro. So you've arrived.
Speaking of that, there was an article.
Wait, my turn. We have to get you here into the United States. I know that you came here via various things, Juilliard School, a doctorate of music from Juilliard. You settle here in the main line with your lovely wife who you met, and I know that's a whole other story for another time. But tell us about the silver anniversary of Vox Amadeus. Where did that idea come from? Because it means...
Well, silver means 25 years.
So
the Vox Amadeus, yes, the voice of the love of God. It came, I'll try to be brief.
we don't need you to be brief. We just keep you on track here. That's all.
Back in Romania, there was a wonderful, wonderful choir by the name of Coro Madrigal, directed by a very famous musician choir director by the name of Marin Constantin. And they performed in Renaissance costumes, gorgeous music. And I was always so inspired by the perfect intonation and the a cappella, beautiful music, and with some costumes and so forth and so on. And as a little boy, I always wanted to have a group like that. So when I came here... to Philadelphia in 1986, after finishing Juilliard and living in Europe for a while after that and so forth, I came here and I started in 1987 a group of 12 singers, my 12 apostles, which as opposed to Jesus also included women. Mm-hmm. We started at Ellsford Abbey in Paoli, which for many years has been kind of my center of operations and concerts. And it evolved from a straight a cappella group. I added some instruments, costumes, of course. And then in 1991, I started a different group. An expanded group, should I say. Which was called Amadeus Ensemble because it was the bicentennial of Mozart's death in 1991. And so that was a larger group that included also community, very good singers from the community, semi-professionals, what I would call them, and orchestra, which you didn't have before. And then we did a lot of concerts, first at Ellsford, then around the Philadelphia area. And then when in 2001, Kimmel Sonnets opened, we moved kind of there as well as on the main line. And we expanded in Chester Hill and Doylestown and all over the greater Philadelphia area. And then in 2006, we added a third group, which is called Camerata Amadeus. Camerata mean chamber, it's an orchestra of period instruments, baroque instruments. And then this year, on the 25th anniversary, we just did at the Kimmel Center in December, a fourth group, which is called Camerata Consort, which is a combination of Vox Renaissance Consort, which is the a cappella first a cappella group in costumes, with the Camerata Amadeus Orchestra. And it's a fab. So right now we have these four groups that are all under the umbrella of Vox Amadeus organization. And the Vox Amadeus is the organization, and then we have these four performing groups. And we are very happy to be not only alive, but well and alive on our 25th anniversary, especially due to, you know, the harsh economic conditions in the last few years. A lot of the groups had to severely curtail the activities and budgets and so forth and so on.
One of the most extraordinary things, I think, about this story is that here you are promoting, playing, and performing all of this sacred music in a world that probably doesn't know much about it, and you are being incredibly successful. You're playing dates in venues like the Kimmel Center, and places like Daylesford Abbey has wonderful acoustics, and you're at St. Joseph's, and you're all over the place. And I can't think of any other musical organization in Philadelphia that records as much as you do.
Yes, no, that's a factor.
And it's all wrapped around this whole notion of Vox Amadeus.
Yeah.
And obviously your incredible energy contributes to this, of course, immensely. But you have a lot of people working with you on this, don't you?
Yes. I have a wonderful staff, but in addition to that, what mostly I'm very grateful is to we have a few, I would call it super angels or archangels that are very generous. And now just in the past couple of years, we have sort of branched out to have some corporate support we did not have before. And it's working. And what to me personally, as a faithful Catholic and Christian, makes me so happy is that in this ever-increasing secularized world, and I have to make a quick parenthesis that when I first came here to this country from communist Romania, and of course back then I knew that on every dollar bill it says "In God We Trust." And then I come here to only find out this notion of separation of church and state. And not only that, but to find out, you can't do this, you can't do that, because you offend this group, you offend that group, and so on and so on. And to me, it was all kind of like weird and new. You know what I mean? Because the truth is that being half Jew, little secret, I love, how should I say it? I love all religions. I respect them. But for instance, to give you a quick example, I lived in New York at the time, 1979. I went to Juilliard, and across Fifth Avenue used to be huge lit up signs, "Merry Christmas." 1980, underneath was "Happy Hanukkah."
Right.
1981, all of a sudden, none of them were, and was replaced with "Happy Holidays." And the funny thing is this, that in Romania, the month of December used to be called the month of presents. And the Christmas was called the winter solstice. In fact, the Christmas tree used to be called the winter tree, blah, blah, blah. And people officially, not privately, officially used to greet each other, "Happy Holidays." And to come here and to hear, "Hey, excuse me, wait a minute. I thought here's the religious freedom and all that," and so on and so on. And so when people greet me, "Happy Holidays," if I know he or she is a Christian, I say, "And Merry Christmas to you." Right. If I know he's a Jew or she, I say, "Happy Hanukkah to you."
Right.
I don't have a problem with that. But don't suppress my Christmas. I'm not going to suppress your Yom Kippur. I'm not going to suppress your Passover. I wish you happy Passover. If you wish me happy Easter. Right. You know what I mean? That's the beauty about this country, that is multicultural, multi-religion, multi-everything else. But don't try to do what the Chinese try to do, to dress everybody in a little suit, you know, and to suppress the personality and the religion and all that. And so allow them to exist the way they are and respect them the way they are. So what I'm doing, the point I'm making is that I have in my audience for every concert people that are both Christians and Jews and Muslims and whatever, because you know why? They come to hear the music. And they come to hear, because of the music, they go beyond the fact that they may not believe in Jesus Christ and in the death and resurrection and so forth. So what? But the beauty of music supersedes that. And to me, that is so amazing. Because through this beauty of the music, it's like a bridge over troubled water. Really is. And to me, that's my professional faith. To put these people of this small planet that is ever so divided over economic issues, political issues, blah, 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 and so forth and so on, terrorism, and so forth, to get them together in the Kimmel Center or some church or whatever, for the duration of a Messiah, for the duration of B minor Mass or Missa Solemnis or whatever have you and so forth, or Vivaldi, beautiful, beautiful works and so forth. And to me, that is, I live for that, because I live to make people happy, first of all. That is what I live to see people happy, to come to listen to this beautiful music. And also the Christian message. And I'll tell you what, I hate to say this, but the most valuable Western music that was ever written in the past 300-400 years is around Christian themes. Unfortunately, I wish that there were Jewish music that would be for chorus and orchestra and so on, but they're not. Or Muslim, or God knows what else, you know, Buddhist and so forth. But they're not. A. B. I'm a Christian, proud, and so forth. So, but I'm not trying to be ideologically, to try to say, oh, you bad or not. No, I'm not that. What I am is to believe in what I believe, and also to make sure that people gather together under the same roof for an hour and a half, for 2 hours or whatever, to be elevated by the beauty of the music. And the beauty of music that doesn't even need translation, whether we perform in Latin or German or French or whatever, or it almost doesn't matter. Because what matters is the message, the beauty of the music that is expressed to that. And to me, that I live for that. And the Lord has helped me to do what I have to do, because I feel that I'm a crusader. And for the past 25 years, and with God's help for the next 25 years, to do just that.
Our guest is Maestro Valentin Radu of Vox Amadeus. And as you can see, he's a very low-key person.
Shy and modest,
and it's a delight to have you here. And I just want to shift gears, as we just have a few minutes left, to talk about one of your other halves of your world, and that is your half as a teacher. You're teaching, and you are, I think, the director of music.
Director of music, and I teach music at Devon Prep, yes.
At Devon Prep. And that's what I meant, the director of music at Devon Prep,
yes,
correct?
Yes,
right.
Yes.
And so, you teach at this private Catholic school, obviously in Devon. Do you get to tell this story to your students?
Yes.
And do they seem to understand, these boys that are listening to you in class?
Some.
Yeah.
But it's hard, because, you see, they grew up in a very fenced-in society. They have all the amenities of a relatively good life. And they have everything they need, including, unfortunately, all the electronic gear and so forth. But I do try to tell them about what the real world is. And a lot of them, they raise their eyebrows and they listen. And also I try to tell them about some of the – how, for instance, rock and roll is today so popular. What are the roots of that? Or jazz, or God forbid, rap, which I can't stand, and I make sure that they know that.
Okay.
And so, whatever. But why classical music is called classical, you see? Because it's something that it's eternal. It's something that it has the value that has not been dented or diminished for the past 200-300 years or 500 years or whatever. And rock and roll came and may be gone in the next 25-50 years or whatever. Or I hope rap, at least. And also I tell them about some of the lives of the composers and some of the struggles, and how hard it is to do some of these things, and how, Bach, for instance, that was a family man with 21 kids, and yet he had all sorts of jobs everywhere and so forth and so on, and whatever. And the other thing that is interesting with the boys is that I tell them about the, not as a religious course, but as a practical, and they listen to me because they see me as a cool guy, as they call it, all right? And that helps a lot. Doc is cool. That's what they keep. In fact, some of the boys, through the generosity of some of our sponsors, we make available free tickets to Kimmel Center, for instance, for some of the boys to come to listen. And every single one that has come in the past few years to Kimmel Center concerts, they talk about it how cool music is, how cool I am, how cool, blah, 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 blah. And for 11, 12, 13-year-old, to me, a teacher is really, Jesus was a teacher, right? And so he was a rabbi in a way, which means that. And to me, that is another aspect of my life, which is so important, to leave a legacy of the young generation to follow in the footsteps of real, for them to be real, not to be in the cyberspace and the internet and all that crap, which I call it.
Thank you. We want to thank you very much for joining us today, and we're going to leave the program with a little bit of the maestro's music so that you can hear what he's been doing for the last 25 years. And we want to thank you very much again for joining us. In Our World, of course, we do remind you that it is voxamadeus.org, and you can learn all about the performances that are coming up not only now but also this spring. Maestro Radu, thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Lloyd.
To talk to me. For Holy Spirit Radio, 1420 WCOJ and 1570 WISP. This is Lloyd Roach.
You have been listening to The Spirit of Chester County, a program which introduces you to Catholics in Chester County and the western suburbs who are making a difference with the Catholic faith. The Spirit of Chester County is made possible by a generous grant from the law firm of Wusinic, Brogan & Stanzione in Downingtown. Join us again next time on The Spirit of Chester County, right here on 1420 WCOJ and 1570 WISP, Holy Spirit Radio for the Delaware Valley.